Our study tonight is out of 1 John chapter 3, verses 16 through 18, understanding what spiritually true love is. Truly upright believers obey Christ's command to love one another. That command was given in John 13, 35, and it's repeated in passages like 1 John 2, 7 through 11, and 3, 14. However, the love God has in mind is unlike the definition for love that the ungodly have. So the Apostle John in 1 John 3, 16 to 18 clarified what true godly love is. And let me read the verses and then we'll look at them. 1 John chapter 3, verses 16 through 18. Hereby perceive we the love of God, because he laid down his life for us, that we ought to lay down our lives for the brethren. But whoso has this world's good, and see his brother have need, and shutteth up his bowels of compassion from him, how dwelleth the love of God in him? My little children, let us not love in word, neither in tongue, but in deed and in truth. Well, though 1 John 3:10 claims the children of God are distinguished from Satan's children, as only God's children produce a righteous lifestyle, 1 John 3:10b introduces a new paragraph on a different subject. He's talking about Christian love. And we discovered in our last lesson in 1 John 3:10b to 15 what spiritually true love is not, that we might avoid it. So in this passage tonight, 1 John 3:16 to 18, John clarified what true godly love actually is, that we might practice it. Well, first of all, John stated that we believers have come to understand, it's agnokamen, which is the perfect tense, we've come to know, and the love has the definite article. We just have, in English, we just have love, but in Greek, it's the love. And so you ask, what kind of love? And in the context, that's the true spiritual love of God, literally, and in this. That is by the test that follows 1 John chapter 3, verse 16. So this is the test by which we know the love of God. And then that test is stated in verse 16b. That test is that Christ laid down his earthly life, his psuche. We got the word psychology from this, but psuche is actually soul. But in this case, it's earthly life. For the sake of, huper, is on behalf of, us. So true godly love comprises such a high level of concern for the welfare of others that one sacrifices whatever he possesses of his earthly life that is necessary for the welfare of other parties. See, God, the Son, recognized that if he did not die for us, we would go to hell and we would suffer the wrath of God forever and ever in punishment and in torment. And the Son of God knew that for our welfare, we needed to be liberated from that. And so he died on the cross in our place so that we would not end up going to hell if we believe in Christ, but that we would go to heaven. That was for our welfare. So that's the standard of what love is. Now, John then applied Jesus' example, writing that if we truly love as God calls us to love, we are obligated, ophelo, to lay down whatever we possess of our earthly lives, at suke again, that is necessary for the welfare of, and he has the word huper again, or on behalf of other believers. Now to illustrate, John claimed that if a believer has worldly goods, beyond tu cosmu, that be the goods of this world, and he sees his brother in Christ have need of such goods, and the owner has no pity on the needy, how can the love of God remain in him? The word remain, John's definition of remain, you'll recall, is found in John chapter 15, rather, verse 7. That is a word that deals with fellowship. So how can true love of God that is found in fellowship with God be in that order? In other words, if we see a person, a Christian, who has a material need, and we have the means to help that person out, and we refuse to do so, John is saying we do not demonstrate that we are fellowshipping with God, because if we fellowship with God, we would have the love to exercise concern and share of our good to meet the need of that brother. So John urged that we should not love in word or talk, that is by our claims to be loving, but in deed and thus in truth. It's interesting, when Jesus Christ judges or passes his judgment on each of the seven churches in Revelation, he always says, I know your works. Why? Because your works reveal your heart. Your heart reveals your theology and everything else. But he will judge us when we stand before him someday by our works. Well, how does God know that we love? By our works. Our love is our true love is translated into action, where we give of ourselves in some way to help the needs of other people who are around us. So we should actively give of what we materially have to help the brother in material need, and not just talk about loving another or claiming that we love other believers. However, John's teaching has a far more extensive application. Jesus' example of giving of his earthly life, his psuche for us, obligates us to give our psuche earthly life for other believers. And that can involve any entity we possess in this life that is needed by other believers. Now, sometimes believers need money. Sometimes they need food. Sometimes they need, you know, a car or something like that. That's great. But there are other things that believers need. Sometimes they need attention. Sometimes I've had believers come up and talk. They just want to talk. They want someone who's going to listen to them. Years ago, there was someone who put an ad in a paper. I will listen, $5 an hour or something like that. And just listen, that's all I'll do. I won't answer, I won't respond. And he was flooded with calls. People wanted to talk, have somebody who would listen. And he made his money. He should have upped his money maybe to $10 an hour or something, or $15 an hour. But he had people calling him left and right because they wanted to talk. They just want someone to listen. So sometimes having an ear, giving attention to somebody, or giving our time to somebody. A skill. Some of us can give by way of skill because we have skills maybe in carpentry or that kind of a thing. Sometimes we have skills in artwork, drawing, sometimes skills in music, all sorts of skills that we can have that we can give. Sometimes what we have to give is knowledge. We might know something that is valuable for someone else. Or any such entity that a fellow brother needs for his welfare. Now, most often, this sharing with needy believers involves ministering the spiritual gift that God has given us to profit the rest of the church body. I'd like to turn to a passage that deals with this. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 4 through 7. 1 Corinthians 12, 4 through 7. And the Apostle Paul is writing, now there are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit. There are differences of administrations, but the same Lord. There are diversities of operations, but the same God, which works all in every way. But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man to profit with all. Now, the phrase there with all, actually the word there with all, is the Greek word sumpheron, which means the greater good or the common good. In other words, the entire church body is benefited. See, every one of us has a spiritual gift. And what God wants us to do is to use that particular gift for the benefit of every single other person in the body, in the church. And we can do that in a variety of ways. But God wants us not to hold it in. Now, that gift will benefit us. Each one of us has a gift that we can use for our own benefit. If it's a teaching gift, you could teach yourself and so forth. But God doesn't want just to hog the teaching. If you have a teaching gift, he wants that teaching to get out and shared with other people. Sometimes we have the gift. Some people in our church have, a lot of ladies in our church have the gift of showing mercy, a tremendous capacity to come alongside a person who's hurting and to help them, to encourage them. It's a great gift, wonderful gift. We have some men in our church especially. We have some ladies too have the gift of administration, the ability to coordinate other believers into a function. That's a very important gift. There are many gifts of helps and so forth, gifts of giving and so forth. So when Paul wrote of the Holy Spirit's assigning spiritual gifts to the body, he claimed that each believer is given his assigned gift for the sumpheron, for the advantage of the common good of the entire body. So God himself has dispersed the gifts to all individuals in the body so that every believer is obligated to use his spiritual gift to meet the edification needs of the entire rest of the church. And in light of 1 John 3:16 to 18, that means that if he truly loves as God calls him to love, he will develop that gift and he will use it for the sake of all the other believers around him. A couple other passages. 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 6, the Apostle Paul writes about this gift. Wherefore I put you in remembrance that you fan into flame the gift of God which is in you by the putting on of my hands. God wants us to exercise that gift. He wants us to practice and use it and to become adept at it. That's what we need to do. 1 Peter chapter 4 tells us that every one of us has a gift. Some person may say, well, Pastor, you don't understand. I don't have any spiritual gift. No, you do. 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 10. As every man has received the gift, that tells me that every person in this room who has accepted Jesus Christ as his or her Savior has the spiritual gift. As every man has received the gift, even so minister that same one to another, as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. And then he lists some of them. If any man speak, let him speak the very oracles of God. If any man serve, let him do it as of the ability which God gives, that God in all things may be glorified through Jesus Christ, to whom be praise and dominion forever and ever. One of my favorite passages is found in John's Gospel, John chapter 21, verses 15 to 17. This is an event that occurred as the first men's breakfast in church history. This is after the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. And Jesus was speaking to Peter in front of the other disciples. And after they had dined, verse 15 in John 21, Jesus said to Simon Peter, Simon, son of Jonas, do you love me more than these do? And he said unto him, yes, Lord, you know that I love thee. He said unto him, feed my little lambs. And then he did it again. Simon, verse 16, son of Jonas, do you love me? He said unto him, yes, Lord, you know that I love you. He said unto them, feed my sheep. He said unto him the third time, Simon, son of Jonas, do you love me? Peter was grieved because he said unto him the third time, do you love me? And he said unto him, Lord, you know all things. You know that I love thee. Jesus said unto him, feed my sheep. And it's interesting, feed my sheep, feed my sheep, feed my sheep. Yes, Jesus was asking Peter three times because Peter denied him three times. And so he was doing some work here to counter Peter's denial by his threefold commitment to Christ. But it's interesting that Jesus said, if you love me, you'll feed my sheep. This often speaks to my heart. And it's like the Lord often tells me, Don, do you love me? You'll feed my sheep. Feed them. Give them the word of God. So it's very important that we serve the Lord. And if we really love the Lord, and if we really love God's people like we should, we will be giving of ourselves to people and to meeting their needs and giving what we possess that is of value to them to help them. It's very important. So true love and fellowship with God follows Jesus' example of laying down whatever one possesses of his earthly life and its possessions that are necessary for the welfare of fellow Christians around him. This can involve the entities of material possessions or time, attention, a skill, knowledge, and most significantly, the development and the ministry of one's spiritual gift for the profit of the rest of the body of Jesus Christ. So may we love as God calls us to love, following the example of our Lord Jesus Christ in laying down whatever we possess of this earthly life and its possessions that are necessary for the welfare of other believers. I got into a discussion this morning after our morning worship service in Fellowship Hall with a believer, one of the members of our church. And this believer started to share with me how he had had some feedback from other people. These people, some of these were not even Christians yet, who had been very helped and encouraged by this believer. And this believer was sharing with me, he said, Pastor, this would not be possible if it hadn't been the ministry of Nepog Church to me. It was the ministry of this church to me that equipped me to come to know the Lord or to be edified and strengthened so that I can turn around and help these other people. And he said, the people who are being helped indirectly through the ministry of this church are many. He said, this thing has permeated out many, many times over. And he said, I think it's And he said, I know it's more than thinking. I am positive that this is an indication from God that he wants us as a church to be encouraged to be faithful to the Lord. It's interesting. We have in the service this morning, we were a little light on the attendance, possibly because of the weather. Who knows? But it's easy when we get into the mundane routine of the Sunday activities to lose sight of the importance of what God is doing through us. And we shouldn't do that. Paul tells us that we should always abound in the work of the Lord, for as much as we know that our labor is not in vain in the Lord. And it was neat getting this input from this particular believer on the tremendous impact that our church and the people of our church are having on people around us. It is huge. But what we need to do is to believe that the Lord is using us, and if we really love people, to stay faithful. Because as we stay faithful, then God can use us. The ministry of a church is a long burn ministry. It's not a quick fix. It gets into the lives of people and it permeates into their lives over the long haul. So may we stay faithful to the Lord, and then God will truly bless. Because that's what really true love is continuing to give and to give and to give of ourselves, just like our Savior, the Lord Jesus, gave of himself for us.